Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Stories from the Old Testament about different people of God. And this morning we're looking at the Exodus as the children of Israel who have been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years, finally under the leadership of Moses, are let go by Pharaoh, by the king of Egypt, and they leave the nation. And they begin their wanderings toward the promised land, a wandering that is led by God. Scripture tells us he leads them in the form of a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And as they leave Egypt, the Lord leads them out into the wilderness, and it leads them toward the Red Sea. Now, Pharaoh, back in Egypt, begins to regret having let the Israelites go because they are a huge number of people, but they have been functioning as enslaved. They've been very important in the various building projects and other things that he's had them do, and now he's losing all of this slave labor, and he changes his mind, and he decides to go after the Israelites to force them to come back into slavery. And so he gathers his great army, which includes hundreds of chariots, and he takes off after the Israelites. And so as the Israelites get close to the Red Sea, in fact, on the shore of the Red Sea, they look over their shoulder, so to speak, and here comes Pharaoh's army ready to take them back to Egypt, back into slavery. And that's where we pick up the story today in Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to start reading in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." It is a common human experience to at times to be overwhelmed by our circumstances. Things happen in our life, and it is very clear, very quickly, that there's very little we can do about it. And the common response to that kind of a situation is fear. That's certainly how the Israelites responded to what was happening to them. It had been hardly any time since they had been freed to go from slavery. They had gathered their possessions, all their family members. They had left Egypt in great joy under the leadership of Moses, but now things have drastically changed. They're being chased by the Egyptians from one side. The Red Sea is blocking them on the other side. And they become very afraid. They are caught, if you will, but between that proverbial rock and a hard place. Pharaoh's army on one side and the Red Sea on the other. And in their fear, they begin doing what so many of us also do in these kinds of times. We begin blaming someone else. "This is your fault, Moses. Why didn't you just leave us in slavery in Egypt? We were so happy there. Of course, there's no evidence of that, but you know, when you find yourself in this situation, your mind isn't necessarily working at its best. It's a very emotional response that we see here. Not necessarily one that is true to reality, but it is true to the emotion of fear, of terror, of what is going to happen to us, and there's nothing we can do. You know, it is common when people face an impossible-seeming situation and they feel the emotion of fear, they feel like they need to do something. And the two primary human reactions to fear are either fight or flight. Some people, when they become fearful, they begin to lash out in anger. They fight. Put them up, you know. Let's go at it. They'll say things. They'll do things. They become aggressive. They become mean-spirited. They try to force something into a really impossible kind of a situation, which typically only makes it worse. Other people flee. They run away. They hide, like the ostrich with their head in the sand, somehow hoping that this bad thing will just go away if I just get away from it. Maybe if I just ignore it. Fight or flight. Now, neither of those options are very good options for the fearful Israelites. I mean, do they really stand a chance against Pharaoh's army if they put up their dukes and say, let's fight it out? They'd be destroyed. And where are they going to run to? There's this big body of water. Now, you could run up the shore either way, but they have chariots. You're not going to get very far at all, and they will chase you down. We're in an impossible situation. We're scared out of our wits. Moses, what have you done to us? God, what are you doing to me? It's a tough place to be in life. It is hard to find ourselves in these times, and it is hard to know what to do. What has turned out to be one of the greatest hymns ever penned by an artist is the hymn, Just As I Am, a hymn that became very well known through the Billy Graham Crusade. If you remember when Billy Graham would have his large crusades and these big stadiums, like 40, 50, 60,000 people, and Billy Graham would preach the gospel. And at the end of his message, he would invite people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then he says, if you've made that decision tonight, I want you to step out of your seat, wherever you're sitting, and come down here onto the field, because we will have someone here to talk with you and to help you and to get you connected with the church so you can begin to grow in your faith. And literally thousands of people would get up out of their seats and come down out of the big stadium, and the whole field would soon be covered with people. And as they came down, this choir, I think it was about a 500-member choir that sang at the Billy Graham Crusades, they would sing the hymn, Just As I Am, which is about four verses long, and they would just sing it over and over until, I guess, Billy Graham decided the people had come and we could now stop. And it was just an amazing thing. You may have been a part of one, or maybe you have seen video of one of his crusades. He did this literally around the world. Just As I Am was the hymn that they picked, and it became very, very well known, and it's been used in many other similar kind of situations. Well, the author of that hymn was a woman named Charlotte Elliott. Charlotte did not grow up as a Christian. She was not from a family of faith. And as a young person, she had a terrible accident that left her an invalid for the rest of her life. And she became incredibly bitter and angry about her physical situation and all the things that she was looking forward to do as an older teenager and as a young woman and to grow and to have all this. If her whole life before her in her mind was now ruined because of what had happened to her. Well, one day, as she tells the story, a pastor came by their family to visit. And as the family was visiting with her, she just kind of poured out her heart to him. how angry she was at God. Kind of on one hand, didn't even really believe in God, but if there was a God, he had to be a really mean God to allow this to happen to her. And the pastor heard her story, and then the pastor shared the gospel with her, encouraged her to have faith, encouraged her to believe that God truly loves her and cares for her. Well, at first, Charlotte was offended. She just thought this was ridiculous. Why should I get religious all of a sudden? And again, if there is a God, he wouldn't have let this happen to me. And she was very angry and bitter about this kind of religious response to her situation. But God used that in her life. And over a period of time, Charlotte actually gave her life to Christ and became a Christian. But as she grew as a young Christian, she still had all these doubts. She still had fears. She still worried about her future. She tried to kind of put them aside, try to be, if you will, a good Christian, but it was really hard for her. And then one night, she decided to write her spiritual autobiography. And she chose to do that in poetry, in verse. And she wrote out what she called Just As I Am. And it's a very well-known song. You probably know at least the first verse, but this is the third stanza, not as well-known, but probably more than any of the verses describe at least her particular situation. This she wrote in 1836, almost 200 years ago. And can imagine the generations of people who have heard these words, not only at the Billy Graham Crusade, but in many other different contexts. And these words ring true in their life. These words ring true, I think, in our life as well. And this is how she expresses some of her pain in this third stanza. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. She realized that God was inviting her to come as she was. As she was as a handicapped person. As she was as someone who had fears and doubts, especially as it related to her physical situation. As one who had lived with this for years by this time in her life, and yet God had not chosen to miraculously heal her. She was still struggling with her disability. And yet she came to God, and she said, just as I am, I come to you. Moses listened to the complaints of these very, very frightened Israelites. And even as Pharaoh's army is coming closer, Moses turns to them and he says to them, don't be afraid. See, he knew exactly what was going on within their hearts. My guess is it was going on in his heart as well. But he knew something about God that he really wanted to get across to them. Then when you find yourself in a seemingly impossible situation, things are happening in your life that you certainly can't control. You may have tried everything. You may have fought it for a while. You may have run away from it for a while, but nothing has really changed. It's time to stop being afraid. And it's time to stop acting on that fear with fighting or fleeing. It is time to turn from fear to faith. And the way we do that is we stop being active. We stop trying to make it all work out. We stop fighting or running. We need to, as Moses tells the people of Israel, be still. Not just be quiet, quit complaining, although I'm sure that was there for Moses as well. I think he was just tired of listening to the complaining. But it's not just about me, Moses is saying. Don't just be quiet for my sake so I don't have to listen to you. No, you need to be quiet so you can hear God. Be still. Later in verse 14, he says, be calm. You're crazy, Moses. Do you see what's coming? Yeah, but you know who's in charge. Pharaoh's not in charge. His army is not in charge. Oh, they're much stronger than all of us are, but we have God. Be still. And then he says, watch the salvation of the Lord. Be still and see how God, who loves you, will fight for you. Be still. Now, that's where I ended the reading there in verse 14. I think most of us know the story. Maybe you read it as part of the Bible reading plan this past week when we read various excerpts from the book of Exodus. But you know the story continues. That it seems like the Israelites are still. They do say, okay, God, what are you going to do? And God says, watch this. And the Red Sea parts, you know the story, the Israelites walk across. Meanwhile, God has held up the Egyptians, we're told, that cloud that's in front of them actually went behind them, kind of between them and the Egyptians, giving them enough time, it seems like, to walk across the dry seabed. You know, while the waters are parted, they get to the other side, the Egyptians follow them in, and the water comes back, and that's why they never will see these Egyptians again. They're killed. They're saved by God's mighty hand. They were still and watched what God would do. And the story of the Israelites continues. How quickly they forget, because it doesn't take long that they're complaining again about they don't have enough water to drink, they don't have enough food to eat. Then God gives them food, but it's kind of boring food. We have to eat this week after week. I mean, and they go on. But who is God? God is someone who came to them in their time of fear. He didn't turn his back on them. He didn't say, oh, you guys, if you had come to the Red Sea and seen the Pharaoh's army and go, huh, that's no big deal. God, you can handle them. I mean, if you had done that, then I would have done something. But you were afraid. You complained. You blamed Moses. You yelled at me, and I just left you to your fate. See, God will never do that. That is the witness of Scripture. Now, the witness of Scriptures also is that God does not every time miraculously part the Red Sea. Charlotte Elliott learned that in her life. It's one of the things that she struggled with, even as adult, when she penned Just As I Am. She still had turmoil within. She still experienced doubts and fears, but she sought to be still before God and said, God, I offer you just as I am. And guess what God said to her? And God says to each one of us this morning, I will take you just as you are. I know you get afraid. And I know that sometimes when you're afraid, you try to do things to make things work out. You ignore me for a while. I'm okay with that because I'm just waiting for you to come back around. I'm just waiting you to stop all this complaining, you know, all this complaining prayer. You know, we kind of cloak it in prayer so it looks holy and spiritual. But it's God, let me tell you what you need to do. And then when God doesn't do it, God, let me tell you how upset I am that you didn't do what I told you to do. And God goes, yeah, well, I've heard this before, and I can handle it. And when you're done, you know, complaining and arguing with me and demanding things of me and telling me how to run the world and how to run your life, are you willing to be still? Because I'm here not just to love you, not just to care for you, not to pat you on the head and send you on the way. I'm here to fight for you. Because some of the things that come our way really need a powerful God to step in. Because we can't do it. We tried. And we lost. But God is stronger than anything that can come against us in our life. And so He says, be still. So we have an opportunity to turn from fear to faith. We do that by being still. Even in the face of fear, even dealing with very difficult emotions that we struggle with. And we say, Lord, it's not that as Christians we become totally passive and inactive, but it is more we stop striving in our own strength and we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me do? And then wait to see how the Lord acts and how the Lord brings us into that action. And therefore, when we're still, we're able to hear God say to us, don't be afraid. Fear not, says God, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And I will help you, I will strengthen you, and I will lift you up with my strong right arm. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful Exodus story in Scripture. It's not wonderful because the children of Israel were perfect. In many ways, we read the story and we want to kind of look down on them a little bit for being, you know, bad followers of God. And, you know, you did all these miracles for them in Egypt, and how quickly they forgot. But I wonder if we're really any different. How quickly we forget what kind of God you are, how much you love us, how strong you are to protect us, how eager you are to lift us up like a father wants to lift up his child. When we fall, when we're bruised, when we're hurt, when we come crying to you, you don't turn your back on us. But again, like a human parent, you want to wrap us in your arms and you protect us. It doesn't mean that life is going to be easy, just like for our own children. Sometimes our own children have to go through hard times. It's part of learning. It's part of growing up. It is part of dealing with life as it really is. But you are always there for us. You will never abandon us. And so, Lord, may this Exodus story, may stories that we continue to read and talk about this summer be encouraging to us and lift us up. May we see both the human side, how similar we are to these people that we read about. But may we also, Lord, see the God side. What an amazing God you are in these people's lives. You're just as amazing today. You may not part the Red Sea every day, Lord, but every day you're doing miracles in people's lives, in your people's lives. And so may we be still. May we look to you. And may we see the salvation of the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.